Hallelujah. Light has come. Children's church. Nope. All right. That's fine. You're welcome to start here. I tell you what we'll do, kids. If you want to come and give to the missions jar, you guys come on. You just need to go back and find your seat with mom and daddy when you finish. I know last week I saw them doing it after the service. Y'all welcome to do that right now. But everybody's finding their spot. Invite you this morning to open your Bibles to the book, to the Gospel of Luke. Chapter 2, the Gospel of Luke, chapter 2, a couple of quick updates. First of all, how many of you made it to the cantata last Sunday? How many of you made it? How'd you like it? Oh, wasn't it great? Didn't it do a great job? Praise God, choir. Thank you for everybody that was involved in that from start to finish. Can y'all tell we moved the, look at Shayla's bringing somebody down here. Come on down here, girls. Looky here, Savannah. Daddy gave you some money? Oh, hey there. Hey, sugar. What an incredible time. Thank you guys so much for your part in that and for all that you did because it was phenomenal. I'm going to guesstimate 300-ish people here. I know we had well in excess of 250, but it was just a great time and awesome time of celebration of our good and awesome God. Also, let's see here. Charlie, Sandy, any Bryn updates? Let's hear something. Okay, excellent. That's about the only phrase I've heard from Doobie this week was, it's hot. So, yeah. Well, praise the Lord. They had a lot of stuff to give out. So many of you gave sacrificially, and we're just incredible blessed. And so praise the Lord. Just keep us posted, okay? Praise the Lord. Okay, as you open your Bibles in Luke chapter 2 this morning, what I'm going to do is I'm going to read beginning in verse 1, and we're actually going to read all the way through to verse 20. Okay? Now, certainly by this time in our Christmas celebration, if you're a believer and you've been coming to church very much, you've been listening to Christian radio, you've heard the verses, you can probably even close your Bible and just about quote what we're going to read this morning. What I'd like to do today as we study this passage and just reflect on what we've studied in the recent weeks, I really want to draw it around our own personal celebration of Christmas. I want to focus our attention as we come through this passage today. Let me stop for a minute. Darion, good to see you, brother. Welcome back home. How long we got you? January the 7th. Looking forward to some time with you, man. Y'all make sure you give him a big hug. He's been out at Word of Life all in the fall and gotten a baptism by fire down there, I believe. God taught you anything, young man? Amen. Is your mom glad to have you home? Amen. Well, it's good to have you. Good to see you this morning. Good to see so many of you guys this morning as well. So as we study this Luke 2 chapter passage this morning, it's my intent is to draw it around our own personal time of celebration this year. So let's just start with verse 1 of Luke 2. In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. Some of the old versions say tax, but that's really what it's about. It's about being registered for taxation purposes. This was the first registration when Quirinus was governor of Syria, and all went to be registered, each to his own town. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth, to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was one of the house of the lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed or engaged, who was with child. And while they were there, the time came for her to give birth, and she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, strips of cloth, which is something they still did in many of the Near Eastern lands today. They still wrap them, and usually that's to help keep their arms and legs tied tightly together to help keep them. They used to think that it would strengthen their arms and their legs. So certainly they wrapped him in those swaddling cloths and put him in a manger. We'll talk a little bit about that perhaps later on, because there was no place for them in the inn. And it says, and in the same region, there were shepherds out in the field keeping watch over their flock by night. And the angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were filled with fear. And the angel said to them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased. When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us. And they went with haste. Hey, there's the first Christmas rush. You see it right there? And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph. That's the right kind of Christmas rush right there, I might add. And the baby lying in a manger, and when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured up all of these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen as it had been told to them. Let's pray for a moment. Father, these are not the words of man, but these are the words of God. As we've read this beautiful passage of Scripture, God, it's just not a historical event. It is literally the fulfillment of the prophecies and the promises that start in Genesis and end in Revelation, all centered around the person and the work of Jesus Christ. Lord, what can a mere man add to these words? Not one single thing. This morning, Father, we're desperate for you. We're desperate to hear from heaven, God. We're such a busy society here in America. I just ask you this morning that you might still our minds and hearts and allow us for these few fleeting moments to be able to grasp and get a hold of and a handle on the words of the living God. May you speak to our hearts today. May you challenge us and convict us. For those that are here today without Jesus, may today be the day when you save us, when you set the captives free. Thank you for this incredible, beautiful event, the coming of Jesus Christ to this earth. And thank you for these treasures that we'll see today as we study together. In Jesus' name, amen. I'd like to take just a few moments, and I want to go back, and I'm really going to focus today in verses 8 and following. But I want us to take a few moments and just reflect for a few minutes. How many of you have finished your Christmas shopping? Any of you? How many of you still got Christmas shopping to do? How many of you haven't started your Christmas shopping? Anybody willing to admit that yet? Hey, there you go. We got a few of you in there. I have to be honest, I love this season. And you know, from November till December, I love this time of year. It's a very festive time, a celebratory time. And as a believer in Christ, I just love it and always have. One of the things that I enjoy, I think, the most, I don't enjoy the pressure that people put on themselves about this season, whether it be for family or cooking or all these things that have got to be, what's the word, perfect, right? Because what happens is oftentimes we're robbed of the beauty and the wonder of this season. Now, scripturally, we know December 25th is not the actual birthday of our Lord. Okay, we know that. We're not sure when it is. We definitely don't think it was in December of 25th. We probably think it was more along March or April time frame. But we're not sure of that. But we know it's not December 25th. It is just a time when the church and tradition has chosen to celebrate that. And really, over the last 300 or 400 years, we've seen the tradition change in America and throughout the world. It's largely become a lot more about Santa Claus and the giving of gifts and certainly the materialistic aspects of it. But I wonder what it was really like on those days, on the actual very first Christmas morning. I wonder what it was really like on that day. Well, what I want to do right off the bat today is I want us to reflect for a moment, because today, if I was to title this message, I'm going to title it Having an Intentional Christmas. Having an Intentional Christmas. Do you believe that God is intentional? I mean, do you believe that God just lets things happen? So he's teaching this precious, innocent woman that this is not going to be something that man can create. It is a supernatural work of God. Then the third person that we've been in, that's been in this whole play, this whole scenario, if you would, has been Joseph. And one of the things that we know about Joseph in Matthew 1:18 is that, in fact, one of the things I thought was neat as I reviewed it again this week, I looked back over it, one of the things he took her into his home already. Even though he had never consummated a marriage, what we find is that he had carried her and brought her into his home, into his family. And he was wrestling with this pregnancy thing. And he was actually thinking, he said, and he was thinking, I'm wondering, should I just put her away privately? And as he was wrestling it out, I understand why the Lord had the angels come and announce to Joseph, hey, here's my plan, here's what I'm doing, okay? Because he was fixing to do something outside perhaps the bounds of, even though he was being gracious, and certainly he could have had Mary stoned by being unfaithful, he had chosen not to do that. What we find is that Joseph responded, and God certainly blessed. Joseph responded in a very powerful way. He obeyed the command of the Lord. As the angel revealed to him, this is what God's doing, here's what I want you to do. He did exactly what God had told him to do. But then we come to Luke chapter 2 and verse 8. So God chose to send angels to speak to Zechariah and Elizabeth. He chose to send, I got that. He chose to send angels to speak to Mary. I understand that one. He chose to send angels to reveal his incredible plan to Joseph. I understand that one. But my question is, because as I study this passage, as we look in Luke chapter 2, verse 8 and following, why did God send his angels to announce? Now think about this. We've just read verses 1 through 7. That is the literal birth of Jesus Christ. That is what we call Christmas morning. It is his actual day of birth. He could have gone to the rabbi in the temple and announced, "I have sent the Messiah. He is here." Micah 5:2 is fulfilled. Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14. Isaiah 9, 6, and 7, fulfilled. Genesis 3:15, fulfilled. It's done. And here's where you can find him. He didn't do that. He could have gone to the Sadducees, the keepers of the law, the scribes, if you would. He could have gone to them. He didn't do that. Who does he send? Who are the first people outside Mary and Joseph and the family that he notifies? Think about that for a moment. Shepherds. Why? I understand Zacharias and Elizabeth. I understand Mary. I understand Joseph. But man, when you come to the shepherds, humanly speaking, it don't connect. Incredible plan here. I want you to see this. Let's just talk about this for a moment. Let me just remind you a couple of things here. First of all, I want you to see this. He says, in the same region, there were shepherds out in the field keeping watch over their flock by night. Why these particular shepherds? We're going to talk a little bit more about them here in just a moment. One thing that I've learned as I've studied this week, I thought was really neat. First time I'd ever seen this. The phrase keeping watch, okay, means night watches, literally. And what it's talking about is there's the watching of watches. There was literally, near Bethlehem, on the road between Bethlehem and Jerusalem, a tower known, and I don't speak Hebrew, but it's Migdal Eder, E-D-E-R. That's the southern pronunciation of that. Or literally means the watchtower of the flock. This was the station where the shepherds watched the flocks that were destined for the sacrifice. Actually, it was located between Bethlehem and Jerusalem. It's about 8 miles, I think it is, that separates those two communities. And so they had this field, this area where there was a watchtower, and they kept the temple sacrifices. And I'll tell you what we know from Jewish history, is that Jewish history has always taught, and they believed, that the Messiah, the sacrificial Lamb of God, would come from Bethlehem. Well, they also believed that they would come, that the announcer, that they would understand, they would see it from that very tower, from that very position, they would hear the annunciation or the announcement of the coming of God's Lamb. It's very powerful, because as you think about that, and I think that's very palatable. Now, can we say this authoritatively? No, there are some that don't believe that. They're just not sure about that. But I'll tell you this, there's enough truth here that I think we can say it's very palatable, very possible that located between Bethlehem and Jerusalem, in that indeed that very place where the animal sacrifices were being kept and where the shepherds knew that these were the lambs that would be offered in the temple sacrifices, that God would send his angel to announce there that God's Lamb had arrived. Very powerful. Now, is that the one that I think that we need to make the connection with? Well, I do think it's powerful. I happen to like that because I think it fits. Because one thing we know about the Lord Jesus is that even John the Baptist recognized him in John chapter 1. Y'all remember what he said? I think it's verse 29. He said, "Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." John the Baptist understood that Jesus was to be the Lamb of God. From the book of Hebrews, we understand that by his offering, the offering of the Lord Jesus Christ, his death, he made one offering for sin and has since now sat down at the right hand of the Father. One thing that we know on the Day of Atonement for the Jew Every year on the Day of Atonement, there was a new animal that had to die for each family to cover or atone for the sins of that family for the next 12 months. And it only covered it for 12 months. And on the next year, 12 months. On the next year, another animal had to die. It's very powerful in what it's presenting. Matter of fact, even coupled in what the Magi brought, the gifts that they brought to present to the Lord Jesus sometime later. It didn't happen when they were allegedly here in this home or in this, what they call the stable. We don't know that for sure, scripturally. That they came not only with gold. Y'all remember the term frankincense? You know what frankincense was used for? It's for aroma as well. And what you, any of you been around, any of you ever, listen, let's just get country for a moment, can we? How many have ever slaughtered an animal? Raise your hand. Get them up high. Let me ask you something. Now, first of all, it's not enjoyable, okay? If you get enjoyment out of that, something wrong with you, okay? You need help. But second of all, is there not a specific aroma to that? Any of you remember that? Yeah. Those of you that ever been hunting, even if you're skinning a squirrel out on a tree, say, you eat squirrels? Yes. In my first church, I had a little lady by the name of Corey Brand. Y'all remember Miss Corey? Miss Corey, anytime, said, you and your boys going squirrel hunting? Well, why, Miss Corey? If you'll shoot me some, I'll cook them. So we'd go kill 6 or 8 or 10 squirrels, and we'd take Miss Corey some squirrels, and she'd make her some squirrel dumplings. Y'all try that, Mark. Helps you. You know what I say that for? The reason that frankincense was often burned in the temple to help cover the stench of death. See, we come into a church like this, we don't think about death. We see a beautiful cross up there. I mean, we got a little rugged wooden one, and I appreciate them putting that together for us. But the cross was an instrument of death in the times of Christ. The stench of death. Matter of fact, there was aqueducts there in the city that flowed out of the temple, so that when they killed the animals, there were so many animals. It's estimated in the times of the celebration of the Day of Atonement, 250,000 animals died during that one day alone. And the blood would literally flow through the aqueducts out of the city. The stench of death was in the temple. And so they would light the frankincense many times to help cover the aroma of death. And that was what was presented to Jesus, to his mother. Myrrh also was an embalming portion, wasn't it? We don't think about that. But you got to understand that when the Lord God prophesies in Genesis 3 that there's a conflict going to go on between heaven and earth, between Satan and God, he understood that that conflict was going to require the sending of one who would pay the price, and that son, that was going to be his own son. Ultimately, he was the Lamb. Now, I want to go a step further because I want you to understand this. In the Bible times, shepherds were not considered, we would say, necessarily noble people. Matter of fact, if you turn, we're not going to turn there, but in Genesis 46, 34, y'all remember in that passage when Joseph is telling them what his family, he's telling Pharaoh and his court what my family does. Y'all remember that? And he says, well, my family's like shepherds. And y'all, anybody remember what he says there? He didn't say, oh, well, shepherds are welcome in Egypt. What he said was is that shepherds are loathsome. They're detestable to the Egyptian people. They're rejected. We don't want nothing to do with them. Y'all can stay out there in the, you know, y'all stay out there in the pasture land. You're considered lower than we are. In fact, in Numbers 14:33, it's even considered a punishment at times to be a shepherd. He says this, and I quote, and your sons shall be shepherds for 40 years in the wilderness, and they shall suffer for your unfaithfulness until your corpses lie in the wilderness. Wow, it was even a punishment. In fact, in the very time of Jesus Christ, even the shepherds that kept the sacrificial animals were considered ceremonially unclean. They would not have been accepted into the temple. Matter of fact, even in their daily washings, they weren't, because they dealt with animals that were considered unclean. They were just dirty, filthy, stinking animals. And we know that about sheep from the Word of God. And these men, these shepherds, these were the very ones that were rejected by the common people. They were rejected by the religious people. When I say rejected, they were, you couldn't be shaking hands with a shepherd and go right in and worship the Lord. So I want us to think about that just for a second. And I want us to make some application. I want us to make some application to today. What does that really teach us? The very first people that God sent His angels to announce the fulfillment of scriptures from Genesis to Revelation were those who were the outcast of the community. Those who were on the outside of the church, of the temple. Those who were not in the clique of the Pharisees or the Sadducees or the scribes. Those who didn't fit the mold. They wouldn't be the people that we would all just run up and say, hey, a bunch of shepherds, y'all come on over for supper. We're going to cook something tonight. Y'all come to the house. It wouldn't happen. Those are the ones that God sent His angels. Now think about that. God sent messengers from heaven. Not just one. He sent one to Mary. He sent one to Joseph. He sent one to Zacharias. If you study this passage more in detail, you'll find that when it says a multitude of heavenly hosts, it literally means an army of them were there at the announcement that sang. What was God trying to say? I believe God was being very intentional in what He did. I believe that the Lord was making it very clear that He had not come just for the religious crowd. He had not come just for those who fit the mold. Matter of fact, I think He made it clear in the phrase that He said when He said, I bring you good news of great joy. I love this phrase. That will be for all the people. All the people. See, I believe the Lord was very intentional in what He did. I believe He intentionally went to Zechariah. I believe He intentionally went to Mary. He intentionally went to Joseph. But I believe He just as intentionally went to the shepherds, tending the sheep. Because I think He's trying to communicate that the coming of the Lord Jesus was not for the religious crowd. It's for all people. We would call them today the disenfranchised, the hurting, the homeless, those that are struggling, those that are hungry, those that we typically would not embrace, those that we typically would not stop and give the time of day. Think about it. This is God's word. It's not Bruce's. He intentionally sent His angels to announce the coming of Christ to those who were the outcast. That speaks to me, guys. It speaks to me. It challenges me. I want you to think about your Christmas celebration. In America, Christmas is all about self. It's all about what am I getting. In fact, I'm not going to ask you how many of you, while you were out shopping for gifts for you to give away, bought yourself something. We're not going to go there, are we? I'm guilty. I've done that before. Hadn't done it this year, but I've done it. It's amazing, isn't it? You know what we do, guys? Let me just say this. And listen, I love Christmas celebrations. Our Christmas celebrations are about faith, about family. I love that, and I encourage that. But I'm going to ask you this year to be a little bit more intentional. We're intentional about our faith. We're here this morning, and I appreciate your faithfulness. You're intentional about your family, and I appreciate that. You keep that up. You build a fire in that. We need to see more of that in our culture. But I'll say this. We also need to be intentional about doing exactly what God did on that day, on the very first Christmas. And that's telling the world, the disenfranchised, the reason for the season. For 300 and 400 years now, there's been an assault on the purpose of Christmas. For the last 50 years in America, it's been a tsunami doing everything within the power of the media and our culture to rob Christmas of its splendor. Christmas is not about Santa. It's not about Christmas trees. As much as it's beautiful to decorate, Christmas is about the coming of God's Lamb. Understand, if you want to go read Revelation 12, you can see the great battle that's been going on since Genesis chapter 3, since the fall of man. That battle is between the forces of light, which is God Himself, and the forces of darkness, Satan, Lucifer, the fallen angel, and one-third of the angels of heaven that fell with him. That great cosmic battle today continues. In fact, David, I got to say this, brother, it was great. David, you know, David's got a dry sense of humor. And I sent him an email. He sent me one back and forth yesterday. He was asking about my deductions for housing allowance for 2013. And I said, well, brother, unless you know something new that's coming up, you know, you want to tell me about. And of course, Mr. Dry Humor David said, he said, well, I don't know anything on the coming horizon other than they may take away their housing allowance. And probably they're going to throw you in jail before preaching the gospel. He said, but I don't anticipate that in our lifetime. And I read that out to my wife, and I busted out laughing. And I said, you know, there's a lot more truth to that than we realize. Why is there such an assault upon the name of Christ? Why is there such an affront to a nativity scene, guys? Think about it. Why is there such an affront to a cross? Think about it. The reason is because this is a big battle that's been going on for 6,000 years, almost seven. 6,000 years the battle's been going on, and the war continues. What is it that God has chosen to do? How is it He's chosen to announce His Son today? Us. See, what we fail to realize, as I shared a little bit last Sunday night, is that coming up until these angelic announcements, there had been 400 years of silence from Malachi to Matthew. 400 years. They're called the silent years or the intertestamental period. Those were the season when God was quiet. And then all of a sudden, you can imagine, bang, bang, 6 months, 15 months, bang, bang, all these events began to happen, and Jesus is here. Well, if you understand, and we're studying Daniel 9 on Thursday mornings, Daniel 9 teaches us that from the going forth of the commandment to rebuild the temple until the coming of the Lord Jesus, there's 483 years to be fulfilled. If they had known the dates and marked them down, they could have marked it to the very week the Lord Jesus was offered there in Jerusalem. Understand, those events have happened. And what we see clearly now is that Jesus was here. He made the announcement through angels. God's doing His work through Christ. And guess what? Then He ascends and He dies on the cross, pays for man's sin, and He ascends into heaven. Then what? What the Bible teaches us, He left behind a remnant. Who are they? Called the church. Called His bride. You and I. He's left behind His instruments of grace. Could He use angels today? Sure. I still do believe He does at times. We just don't always see them. We don't see them quite in the dramatic fashion that we see here. But what God has chosen to do is leave behind His children to be the lights in the darkness of our society. I'm going to ask you to do something today. I want to ask you to be intentional. I want you to think for a few moments about somebody that's outside of your box. An individual, a couple, a family. Now, what I mean by that is somebody that's not in your clique, okay? Somebody that doesn't fit your mold. Everybody's got one. If you don't, I'm going to ask God to show you one this afternoon, okay? Everybody, I want you to think about this. Lord, give me somebody. I need somebody that I need to be intentional about. Somebody that's outside my box. Think about it. Somebody that grates you. Somebody that gets under your skin. Can I simply say this? Somebody that needs grace. My wife and I had a good discussion this morning about that because we're talking about this about ourselves. And we sometimes we know so much about people. Sometimes we know so much that we begin to judge them and say, well, you know what? I don't want to reach out and help them because. Well, where's grace in that? Brother Mark, where's the grace in that? I mean, I know this about it. Let me ask you something. Who here deserves God's goodness? Anybody? None of us do. What I'm simply asking you to do is say, Lord, who is somebody that is like a shepherd to me? They're loathsome. They're outside my box. I wouldn't typically stop and reach out to them. I wouldn't typically go across the street and do something kind and gracious to them. Who is that? I'm just going to give you some challenges. If our God was so intentional on the first Christmas morning, how about you and I? How intentional are you, not just for your faith, not just for your family, but I mean for our community, our culture? Are you intentional in your reaching out to those whom God has placed you around? See, I believe God has placed us strategically. I believe the community in which you live, the place you work or go to school, I believe they're very specific, that God has placed you there and He's got you right there because you're the very one He wants to be a light in that darkness. And if that's true, and I believe it is, God makes no mistake, then He's got a purpose for you and I. He has someone that He wants you and I to say, hey, look, this is the reason for the season. You don't have to cram something down their throat, but you can tell them, let me tell you about Jesus Christ. Let me tell you what we understand the Bible clearly teaches. You usually find there'll be the ones that'll be around you that are hurting, struggling, going through a hard time. I'll say this, I read about one particular couple. Actually, one of the most difficult type of people to be is to be a ministry couple. Brother Woody and Mark and your families will understand this. When you give out and you give out and you give out all the time, when you come to seasons like this, sometimes it's very easy not to be intentional. It's easy to say, I'm drawing the line, I'm done. Well, this one particular pastor and his wife, what they decided to do is they'd make Christmas morning and Christmas Day about their family, but on Christmas Eve, what they would do is they would open up their home and they would cook a meal on Christmas Eve, a buffet, and they would invite single folks and widowed folks, and they'd reach out to people that were lonely during the Christmas season and say, just come to our house, let's just chill on Christmas Eve. That's a novel idea. You know what that's called? Being intentional. And what this dear man said is what we noticed as my children grew up and they began to reach out to their friends and then they grew up and moved off and got married. Guess what? He said, now we have families doing that all over the country. Amazing, isn't it? It's what happens when we become intentional about Christmas and we get outside of our box. Another one I think we hear Dave Ramsey say from time to time. He says, you know what? Some of you have been blessed financially this year. Some of you have made it. Some of you have prospered in the midst of a down economy. Matter of fact, a lot more of you than you realize. I love hearing God's blessings being poured out on you. But you know what? You know what he says? He says, take $100 and go out on Christmas morning to a Waffle House. If somebody's working on Christmas morning, guess what? They need a job. When you go sit there and order you a waffle, eat it and drink a half a cup of coffee and leave them $100 tip. You say, well, that's just absurd. No, it's not. That's just called being intentional. That we got folks in our church that set aside money every week to give away. Wow, that's just unheard of. Yeah, it is. That's what happens when you start grace living. You can start grace giving. It's an incredible thing. Some of you can do that with your time. Some of you seniors, you've got more time than you know what to do with. Oh, you can fill it up with all kind of stuff for yourself. But you know what? Be intentional about what you do with your time. Some of you do a wonderful job with that. Let me just say that. Praise God for you. I'm watching you and I'm learning from you how it's going to be one day whenever I'm allowed to step aside for a moment and do some of those servant type things you do. How intentional have you been about Christmas and about reaching out to others? Really touching those who need Jesus Christ. They're all around us. I dare say that in this congregation right here, there's probably 300 or 400 people that we could touch today if we would just choose to ask the Lord, who is it? Who is it? And what would you have me to do? It could be something for some of you, you say, well, I don't get out. I can't. You know what you can do? Call them. You'd be surprised. Bible even says a word fitly spoken is like apples of gold in pitchers of silver. Precious in the sight of the Lord. It could be something as simple as you just visiting them today. So here's my challenge. I'm going to stretch you a little bit today. In fact, I even thought, some of you say, well, what am I going to do? I don't have the money. It's been tight for us. We're just juggling, doing all we can do. And you know what? Well, maybe you can look at somebody who's been sick. Somebody's gone through a hard time in the last 30 days. You look at their house, their gutters are jammed full. Anybody been by them houses? Gutters are jammed full of pine needles and leaves. You know what you can do? Take a ladder and go over there and throw the ladder up on the roof, clean the gutters out for them. You can rake a yard. And they say, why in the world are you doing this? You say, you know why? Because the Lord Jesus has come. I've got news I want to share with you. It opens the door for us to share the good news of Jesus Christ, guys. We have to earn that privilege. They have to earn that right. So I'm asking you to do this today. Here's what we're going to do. I had on the service tonight that we were going to meet here at 6 o'clock for a family time, and I really struggled with that this week because I said, Lord, what would you have me? Here's what I want to challenge you to do. We're not going to have service tonight. Here's our service tonight. We're going to be intentional tonight. I want you to ask the Lord who, whom, and what you'd have us to do today. To be intentional. Now, if you've got your family celebration tonight, then you go on and have a good time. Ask God what He'd have you to do tomorrow, or tomorrow night, or Christmas Day. But I'm asking you, if you're free tonight, you were going to come. I don't know how many we would have had, but I'm going to challenge you tonight to be intentional. And you go out tonight, and our service tonight is going to be intentionally going out to touch someone who's outside of our box. In fact, Tammy and I have had a good discussion this morning of those outside of our box. So we're going to go shopping this afternoon. We're going to prepare some things. And Lord willing, tonight we're going to deliver some of those. That's our prayer. With the intent for that we say to somebody that's not expecting this grace, we're going to say, this is grace. We just want you to know we love you. And let me tell you what Jesus Christ has done for us. We're only given because of what He's given for us. And we just want you to know He loves you too. Will you do that with me? Be creative, guys. Let the Holy Spirit lead you. Have some fun with this. Matter of fact, ever since He gave me this about 4:30, 5 o'clock this morning, I've been stoked. Okay? I've been stoked. I'm excited about it. You say, well, I can't go. Well, then pray for those of us who will. Because the intent is for us to carry the true message and meaning of Christmas. And that's that God so loved this world that He gave His only begotten Son. That whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Make it very clear, we're not meeting here tonight. Okay? I challenge you tonight, be intentional with your Christmas. Let God lead you and direct you and your dear family. If you don't have anybody to go with, call somebody. Say, can I go with your family? Can I go with you? You might be surprised. God will bless.